This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
How you guys doing today? Good, good. You know what's really funny is standing up here and watching you all eat popcorn in church. Something really cool. Or actually, what's even better than that is standing back there and watching some of you during this last song, How Great Is Our God, and you're really getting into it, and you got one hand in the air and the other hand's like shoving popcorn. So I guess that's okay, you know, whatever, that's cool. Well, we're glad you're here this morning. My name is Scott Hodge, and I'm the lead pastor here at The Orchard, and man, it's good to be here. I've missed you guys. I am, as some of you may know, I'm in the middle of my annual summer study break, and so every year during the summer months, I take a few weeks off to kind of break out of the rhythm of study and writing and preparing for sermons so that I can sort of get my head and my heart on the bigger picture of where God's taking us as a community. So pray for me if you would. I know a lot of you said you've been praying. Continue to do that, and it's been a great time for me personally, and as a result, this will translate into being a great time for all of us as a community. So thank you for that. And, you know, this is our second week now in a series we launched last weekend called At the Movies. Last weekend, Ted Egley was with us, talked about significance. And this weekend, I'm real excited because I have a friend of mine with us by the name of Jeff Schinnebarger. In fact, Jeff and his wife, Andre, are from Atlanta, Georgia, or probably what we would call it right now, Hotlanta, right? And but they are here with us today, and I'm excited. In a minute, you're going to have a chance to get to know Jeff a little bit. I met Jeff about a year and a half ago. I was in Atlanta at a conference there called Q, actually more of a gathering, kind of a smaller-sized conference, and it was put on by an organization called Fermi Project, which Jeff is the co-founder of. And Jeff is just one of those guys that when you meet him, in fact, I remember when I first met Jeff, very, very soon after, I remember saying to myself, that guy's going to be my friend. Even if I had to pay him, he's going to be my friend. I like this guy, you know? And he's just one of those guys that, and I don't mean friend as in Facebook friend. I mean real friend, okay? But I mean, this is just one of those guys that just stretches you, challenges you, and makes you sometimes even a little bit uncomfortable. And so I pray that that's exactly what happens here today. And so here's what I want to do. I want to invite Jeff up in just a second, and we're going to spend a few minutes helping you get to know Jeff a little bit, and then he's going to dive in and talk to us a little bit today. So would you give a warm Orchard welcome to Jeff Schinnebarger this morning? Hey, man.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Well, Jeff, man, thank you for coming all the way from Hotlanta to be here. And your wife, Andre's here.
Just for the record, yeah. Hotlanta is what people that are not from Atlanta call it. No one in Atlanta calls it Hotlanta.
You know, we went out to dinner last night, and there's this outdoor seating area. And they said, do you want to sit outside? I'm like, no way, it's just so hot. And he's like, what? This is not hot. This
it's
is
cold.
Like cool.
Yeah.
So we went outside. I suffered for Jesus.
Right.
Or for Jeff. One of the two. I don't know. Hey, we got to introduce your wife. Can you introduce your wife here for us?
This is Andre. She's with me. She's in the front row.
Hi, Andre. Everyone say hi, Andre.
Hi,
We really like to embarrass Andre.
Yeah.
Anyway, gosh. Well, Jeff, I want to give our community here a chance to get to know you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we met about a year and a half ago. And it's funny because we've seen each other in several different cities, haven't we? Last night I was thinking, last time I saw you was in Washington, D.C., but I also saw you in Florida in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
As well. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's wild. Anyway.
We're running into each other all these different places.
I don't know. So it's just, we both love Starbucks. Probably me a little bit more.
Yeah,
than
imagine Jeff. Him, seeing him in a Starbucks. Right?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's a surprise.
It's a rare occurrence. But anyway, Jeff, you have been involved in the last few years with an organization called Fermi Project.
Yes.
When we hear Fermi, we think of what? We think of Fermilab, right? So are you a scientist or what?
Not at all.
Well, actually, before you dive in, let me say, Jeff, you know, the thing I love about Jeff, and the reason I'm glad he's here today, Jeff does not come to us as a pastor of a local church like I am. Jeff comes to us, and I think maybe the best phrase to use, or the best explanation is you are a social entrepreneur, and you are someone who's very excited and driven with this entrepreneurial spirit to help other people learn how to influence and create culture. And not only are you excited about helping other people create culture, but you are doing some things in your life right now mm-hmm. to help bring that about as well. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But let's go back to Fermi Project. Tell us about Fermi Project, Jeff.
So yeah, the Fermi Project was an idea that we had, an experiment of sorts. And it was like, what if we could gather the people in America that are what we think are rising in influence in some capacity? So instead of trying to always reach the masses in ideas, we're going to take a few people, the smallest group of people that we can, that can influence the largest amount of people in the long run. So we take people like Scott, who's a pastor of a congregation like all of you, and he's a blogger, and he's a Twitter, what do you say, tweet?
A twit.
You twit. All these different things where people are listening to his voice, listening to his ideas, listening to the things he's thinking about. But if I can influence Scott, then he can share those ideas with the world. And so that's the idea behind the Fermi Project. The Fermimeter is the smallest form of life. It's 10 to the negative 15th or something like that, if there's scientists in the crowd.
No, I think that's right from what my research.
Yeah, good. So it's the smallest form of life that influences all of life. So the idea is, if we were to change the perceptions of Christianity and culture, how would we do that? Well, we have to change our influencers in our society that can do that. First of all, inside of the church, so we gather people like pastors, and then all across culture with people that are rising in influence in the different channels of culture.
Oh, and I love that, because I think one of the things that, you know, we've talked about here before is how, for a long time, it seems like the church, you know, kind of culture has been here. The church has been back here, sort of chasing after, trying to catch up with culture. And I just don't believe that's God's idea. I really think that, you know, in our heart, our passion here at The Orchard is that we could be the kind of community that's not trying to chase after culture or even necessarily imitate culture, but even lead the way in culture. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, some people talk about trying to be relevant in culture, which is basically, I think that is just trying to keep up with it. I think that's a good thing, but we're trying to push it beyond that, where we think people in the church, all of you have the ability to create the future culture that is to come. And if we can do that, then we can actually have influence again in our society. Otherwise, we're just playing catch-up all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a great organization, Fermi Project, and then the Q gathering that you guys do every year. And this last time was in New York City, year before that, Atlanta. And it's just a great gathering. So now, you live in Atlanta. You live in a very interesting neighborhood, East Atlanta Village, right?
Yep.
Tell us about where you live and why you and Andre made the decision to move there.
Yeah, well, East Atlanta Village is on the south side of Atlanta. Atlanta has a lot of, obviously, historical racial issues of our city. And there's actually a line in Atlanta where if you live south of that, it was historically the black communities. And the north part was the white communities, and there was a lot of tension in those communities. And so it's taking people like us to specifically cross those borders and to go into new neighborhoods. Our neighborhood is called East Atlanta Village. It's a transitional neighborhood. It's 80% African American, and most of that are working poor. Although there are all different economic statuses in our neighborhood, the overriding theme is that it's a poorer neighborhood. So what we're trying to do is to go in there and not try to change everything like we have all the answers, but we're learning a ton. We've been there for a year, and hopefully helping restore with that community what it should be.
I mean, it's been a learning experience both ways, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, can you share what you shared last night about when you guys showed up?
In the first week we moved in, we bought a renovated house. And you don't think about how everything that you do influences that neighborhood. So we bought a renovated house, so the price was a little bit higher than most of the other houses in the neighborhood. And so I was on the front porch. The neighborhood has all these front porches. And I was changing and putting a fan on the front porch. Andre wanted a fan on the front porch. And a lady walks by, and she starts laughing at me. I'm like, what? You know, what are you laughing at? I don't even know who you are. And she said, oh, all you white people, you move in and you put a fan on the front porch. So then we started having, so it was kind of funny. And she said, it must be the trend or something like that. So we start talking, and I learn a little bit about her. She's been in the neighborhood for 35 years. She's owned her house the entire time. And she educated me on the realities that when I bought my house for the price that I bought it for, it influenced her taxes in a new way. Huh. So because of moving into that neighborhood, it unfortunately had a negative effect on my neighbor. So what does that mean to love your neighbor in that scenario? That's a difficult thing to wrestle through that we're learning every day and trying to figure it out.
Well, I mean, I love the fact that you've moved there, not necessarily on the side of we're going to go in there and we're going to win this neighborhood, we're going to go door to door and try to convert all these people. But you're talking about just in the way you live and actually another way is through this coffee house that you're doing, which you got to share about, because it's an interesting reason to start a coffee house.
Right. So the idea behind a social entrepreneur is that you're investing in people, not only in a bottom line. And so we believe that if you get behind great people, that great things are going to happen. And for these communities, a lot of them need community hubs. One of the neighborhoods that's directly next to us is called, it's called Lakewood. There's no library. There's no really great restaurants. There's no coffee shop. There's no gathering place. There's no safe place for people to come, especially kids, you know. Mm. And so what we want to do is build a community center for this part of the city. So we're creating a coffee shop. The coffee shop is a for-profit, but chances are we're not going to make a profit. The idea is to hopefully invest in people in the community. We want to do job training for people in the community. We want to create a safe place for people to gather, to meet, to have fun together, you know, to bring in bands, to just enjoy life together.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And it's just awesome too because it's coffee.
Yeah. Independent.
God is in that all
independent.
The way. And it's even cooler because it's independent coffee.
Free trade.
Yeah, free trade. And, you know, we have free trade coffee in our coffee bar, in case you don't know that. So, what else? Oh, you know what?
Okay. Not Starbucks. It's independent. It's not part of the mess.
No. I like independent. I'm cool with independent. We just don't have very many around here. That's true. All shut down because Starbucks wipes them out. But anyway, wipe that from the podcast. Although they are closing 600 stores in this next year, which is not going to affect any of ours. Praise God. and for those who are losing theirs, we're sorry. okay, here's something, though. I mean, the coffee house is a great idea, what you guys are doing there. I mean, the heart behind that, the missional focus of that is so great. You also have started an organization a couple years ago, very unique, called Gift Card
Giver.
Help me out here. GiftCardGiver.com.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, my wife and I, we were at a wedding reception, and so we decided to test out this theory we had. I after we got married, I had all these extra gift cards. We had all these extra gift cards. Everyone has them. They sit in their wallet. And so I had a theory that everyone has a gift card sitting in their wallet that's been in there for at least 6 months.
Last night we discovered this was true, right?
Yes.
My wife. Tell everybody about my wife.
Yeah, she didn't actually give them to us. I was curious.
No, she's. You just need to pray for her.
Yeah. Yes. You know. So we said I was at the table and I said, so I have this theory. Everyone has a gift card in their back pocket that are unused. It's just sitting in there. It's been in there for longer than 6 months. You forget you even have it. And I walked away with like $40 in gift cards they gave me. Everyone at the table had one.
Yeah.
The gift card industry is a $60 billion industry. More than 10% are never redeemed. Home Depot last year made $24 million on unused gift cards. So the idea was, what if we could gather people's gift cards that are sitting in all of your wallets right now and do something good with them? What if you could combine them together? If you get Home Depot cards, you put them all together and give them to Habitat for Humanity that can use them for the raw supplies that they need to help people in need. Or a project we're doing right now, a lot of people have Starbucks cards. They always have like $1.43 left because they get a $5 card. They get one venti. I'm seeing nods, so you guys know what I'm talking about. So a lot of people send us like a little over a dollar left on their Starbucks cards. So we put those together, and there's a group in California that does laundry for homeless people. So what we decided is send them a couple $100 in Starbucks cards so while they're doing laundry, they can give Starbucks to all the people in need there. So we started Gift Card Giver.
That's awesome. You know, and we all do, don't we? Like, I just pulled this one out of my wallet. It's a Target. And if one of you got me this, I'm so sorry. I'm going to give this to Jeff. It's got $35 on it. And I want to be the first person here today, seriously, to give you a card.
Thank you.
I tell you what, if you got gift cards in your wallet or your purse or in your neighbor's purse or whatever, seriously, wouldn't it be cool if we could send him home with a bunch of gift cards for him to distribute and pass on? So if you have one before you leave, just bring it up here and sit on the floor, and we'll collect those, and Jeff will make sure those get in people's hands. Now, if it's a Starbucks card, go ahead and just put them right over there. I'll make sure that they – or just give them to me. I'll make sure Jeff gets them, okay?
Right.
No, seriously, that's an awesome project. And if you want to know more, you can go to their website, giftcardgiver.com. Now, we're in a series called At the Movies.
Yes.
And you selected a movie, sort of a unique film.
Right.
Called Once.
Called Once.
It's a movie that I heard of, and then when you brought it up, I went out and rented the film. And it's an independent film, great, great movie. In fact, would you kind of tell us why did you choose this film? What is it about this film that's going to help us today?
Right. So there's two main characters in the film, and it's a modern day musical. where music has defined the movie. And what happened was these two characters come together and make an album together. What's cool about it is that you're actually watching the creative process. Like even this morning, you're looking at an end result to a creative process. Most movies, Batman, I don't know if anyone saw Batman this weekend.
Yeah. But
yeah, you see the final picture, right? You see when it's perfect, when it's... They've been working on that thing for I don't know how many years, 2 or 3 years probably, to get it to perfection so that you can see it. But this movie is a lot more raw than that. It's figuring it out along the process. It's showing how you develop a creation.
Yes.
And that's what I love about it.
It's a great film. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. And the soundtrack is even greater. And we're going to have a chance to hear some of the music from that today. We watched it the other night, and it was over about 11:30, and I said to Amanda, I said, I've got to go down and download this soundtrack because it's phenomenal, and we've been listening to it every day. Why don't you set up this first scene that we're going to watch?
Yeah, so this first scene is one of the first scenes of the movie. You'll see a guy on his guitar playing a song, playing his guts out on the streets with his guitar case open, all for 10 cents. And he meets his kind of co-star right at the end of it.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
So here's once. He's pretty passionate about 10 cents, huh? So this is the movie called Once, and has anyone seen it? Has anyone seen this? There's a couple. All right. Cool. There's one. Yeah. Indie films are hard to pick. Sky asked me to pick an indie film, and most of them are a little more experimental, and it's not really great to show them in church, to be honest with you. So this is hopefully a reasonable film for this scenario. I love this movie because it takes two broken people. They come from broken relationships, and they find each other in this film, not for romantic interests or anything like that. They find each other to create together. And through that creation, a couple things happen. One is that their personal lives get fixed. They're broken. They're hurtful people, and they get to come together in creating, and they help each other out. And then secondly, they find community in that process. They learn about the strengths from one another, and they celebrate that together. And thirdly, because of this, they gain influence. They didn't realize that, but when they start working together, they gain influence. And those three things are what we're going to talk about today a little bit. I listened to last week's sermon on the podcast about significance, and I think that's a huge word. For me, it seems daunting, right? I don't know about all of you. But for me to become significant seems like something beyond me. I get a little nervous when I think about that for myself. Like, Jeff, can you be a significant person? Well, probably not, honestly. I'm just Jeff. I live in East Atlanta, and, you know, I'm trying to deal with my homeless friend that knocks on my door all the day. You know, like, how do I become significant in that idea? And when I start thinking about myself in those ways, my insecurities come out, and I get driven by the fears that are within me. Can any of you relate with that? When you want to do something big, the fears overtake your possibility of going forward. So many of us are driven by our fears, and we don't even realize it. The decisions that we make are based on safety, not on adventure. We're based on fear, not on courage. And so today, I want to talk a little bit about that. I know each of you, in talking to Scott, there's some interesting people in the congregation that he shares with me that are sitting in all different aspects of culture. And the seven different channels of culture that you could be coming from are media, the arts and entertainment, social sector, which a lot of times includes politics, government, maybe NGOs, something like that. There's the family, there's education, business, and church. And all seven of these categories working together can change a culture. And it's important for each of you to realize that you have the potential to change your current channel of culture. We need people like you to be a part of that. The only one that can create the future of your channel of culture, your sector of society, is you. You know it better than Scott. You know it better than me. If you're a business person, how am I going to be able to interact with the people in your channel? So the question is, do you have the courage to create the future in that channel? Again, most of us are driven by fear, but if you could courageously create the future, think about what could happen. There's, unfortunately, too many talks and too many known theories within us about our fears. So today I want to focus on the opportunities. So the question for all of us is, what would happen if we overcame our fears to courageously create the future? So the definition of creation is interesting. People talk about it in relation to the beginning of the world. People talk about it all different ways. And I want to give you a definition of what I think it means to create. To create is to bring something into existence through imagination and work. To create doesn't mean that you have an idea. To create means you have to bring it into existence. It's more work than that. It's hard. Our problem is that our fear is overtaking the opportunity to do something significant. So those three opportunities that I think that you have today to choose from include: when we create, we have the opportunity to make the world better. We all know we live in a broken world, right? We know things are wrong, but we have an opportunity to change that. Secondly, when we create, we have the opportunity to have a greater community. And third, when we create, we have the opportunity to gain influence. So the first point, when we create, we have the potential to make the world better. My guess is there's things that are broken in your life today. Am I right? It could be a relationship. It could be an issue at work, right? Your boss just doesn't get it, or whatever it is. You know that things are broken. You know how to critique the scenarios, but do you know how to create it and to make it differently? Everyone can be a critic. That's the easiest job in the world, but to create is hard work. So let's start where God created this in Genesis 1:1. If we can put that up on the thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And this is just the first day of the creation. We've all read that at times, the creation story, the 7 days, right? What's great about this to me and encouraging to me is that God didn't have it all figured out on the first day. Have you ever thought about that? It took a process, right? In that process, he saw it and he said, "Nah, I put that there and I want to change something. Yeah, let's separate the water from land. Let's do these different things." But that was the original design. It was perfect, right? Things were perfect in the creation phase. It was how it ought to be. And unfortunately, we live in the fallen world. That's where all the brokenness comes out, right? You can see all those things around you. So then there's the creation, there's the fall, and there's the potential to redeem. There's the redemption phase of the story, and ultimately the restoration, where the kingdom of God will be seen by us one day. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. It's in every great story. Every movie you would see. I haven't seen Batman yet, but I'm guessing you could find those different elements in that movie tonight if you went and saw it. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. You can take any broken problem and put those four things in the mix, and you can create the future. You can have hope for what is to come. The words that I associate with that is creation is how it ought to be. You take any problem, and you can usually answer that question, right? How it ought to be. The problem is how it is currently. It's the fall. The redemption is how can it be? And the ultimate restoration is how will it be? For all you people that watch TV on Sunday nights, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, every week goes through this story. Every time there's creation, fall, redemption, and ultimate restoration beyond anything you could ever imagine, right? Our role is to help redeem our society, to recreate that which was lost in the fall, in your workplace, in your family, in your church, in your community, wherever you are, that is your role. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, if you could put that up. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. That's the verse a lot of people talk about, is the grace component. But following that, in verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Did you realize that? Once you personally have been redeemed in this process, now your role is to redeem the area around you, the culture around you. That's encouraging, too, to know that that's what you were designed to do from the beginning. That's exciting. So the question is, what are you going to create and what is broken in your life right now that you can redeem? For me, there is a story. in my neighborhood. We were there for about four months, and I noticed that there was trash everywhere. You know, one of the first things you, when you go into a neighborhood like this is you see that it's kind of beaten up. There's a lot of graffiti. Some of the graffiti is beautiful, but some of it's kind of just messy. And then there's trash everywhere. So I was talking with Andre one day, and I was like, man, there's trash everywhere. She said, well, why don't you go pick it up? Like, quit complaining about it. Do something about it, right? So I was like, okay, I'll give 1 hour. I'll give 1 hour to go pick up some trash. So I took two trash bags and went out there, right? So I'm walking around and picking up trash, and it was pretty disgusting. I mean, I found some very disgusting things when I was picking this stuff up. You guys can only imagine. And I was picking things up, and people were looking at me like, you know, what's wrong with the guy? He's got the trash can. What's his problem? You know, is he being forced to do this, whatever? I mean, no one really said anything except for one person. One guy yelled across the street, hey, you missed one. He said, like, it's like, thanks, you know. And after an hour of this, I had two bags full of stuff, and there was so much more left. And it was almost discouraging for me. I realized, first of all, how selfish I was in this process. But I also realized how broken it was, how many things needed to be changed, how dirty it was. I mean, I found tires. I found TVs that were thrown behind buildings that were shattered, glass all over the place. I saw beer bottles everywhere. I saw, you know, like over and over and over again, it was all this stuff. So I walked home and, I felt like I did something, but there was so much more to be done. I went away that weekend. I don't remember where I was at, but I came back the next Monday, and I drove by that same parking lot that I was working on, and the entire thing was clean. The entire parking lot. Someone had come after me and picked up everything else. It was crazy. I never saw the value in it like before. If I wouldn't have taken that hour to pick things up, and I don't know if someone saw me or not, or it doesn't matter, but there was the entire thing spotless, right? And then a month later, someone had actually repaved the entire parking lot. Like, I look at this, when I drive by this parking lot now, I'm like, this is beautiful, right? It was a broken thing that was restored. And I would never have known that unless I first went and tried to restore that place, to try to make that parking lot a little bit better. The other thing that happened even a month after that is our neighborhood got hit by a tornado. So I never realized the pickup idea, what God was preparing me for in that process. You never know what's going to happen to you when you begin creating. You never know how that's going to influence other people. In this movie, the cool thing is that the main character that you saw, how the film happened, he was a songwriter. He wrote three songs, put it on a tape. Yeah, I said a tape, and not a CD or MP3 or whatever, and sent it to a friend. And his friend heard it and called him, and he said, we have to make a movie. It started with the music. Like, what movie ever starts with the music? Usually the soundtrack's the last thing in existence. And this happened because he created something which inspired someone else to create, ultimately redeeming this whole scenario. So when we create, we have the opportunity to make the world better, to redeem the fallen world we live in. Question is, what are you being called to redeem? To restore, to create in your place. Secondly, when we create, we have the potential for community. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. It was cool. Yesterday, I got to be part of one of the production meetings, and that's what happens here. It's not just Scott that designs this service. It's a whole team of people with all these different strengths that put this together, which is really powerful to watch. And in the film, you're going to see a clip right now where you see the strength of the girl in the film and her negotiation tactics that she brought to the team. So let's watch this clip. So obviously she was a great negotiator, right? It takes everyone together to create a creation. For me, there's never been an idea that I've had that it has been great when I do it by myself. It takes people around me to work with me to get it done, to make it better. It becomes a better creation when my community does it with me. I don't know if you guys have ever heard a good definition of community, but one of my mentors, his name is Mike Metzger, he defines community as working together. It doesn't mean friends on Facebook, like Scott was joking about earlier. A community are people that work together. When you work on a project with someone, you get to know them. You start to value what they're great at. And that's something that can happen, one of the opportunities when you choose to create. An example of this for me is when we did Gift Card Giver. When we started it, you know, we did it at the wedding, and then we decided to do a website. We did the website. But it didn't really take off until there was a pastor that saw it on a website and decided he was going to do something about this. And he was talking about consumerism, I think, that Sunday. And he actually did an offering that week of gift cards. We didn't know he was doing this, but he sent them to us. And he sent us $4,000 in gift cards that people had in their wallets that day. I wouldn't have been able to do that on my own. I needed him in this creative process to work together. Collaboration is a huge buzzword today in the creative industry. Who are you collaborating with? Who is your community? Who are the people that you create with? Start to share your ideas with them so you have accountability, so you have people that can work that out, so that they can make it better. It's a fun process. Are you being driven by your fears and as a result are missing out on essential elements of community in your life? Because when we create, we have the potential for greater community. Thirdly, when we create, we have the potential for influence. There's another clip I want to show. What I love about this movie is I don't think it ends with the credits. This is different from most movies you go to. For me, it ended when they gained the influence. They created this movie on a shoestring budget. It was kind of on a whim. It took 3 weeks to do, all this kind of stuff. You'll hear a little bit about it here. But the movie was completed for me when I saw the two characters get an award on the Oscars. So here's the clip. Love that clip. Huh? Isn't that inspiring? They didn't have a huge network. They didn't have a bunch of money. They didn't have it all figured out. They had an idea, and they came together, and they did something, and they gained influence. I've seen it so many times with people that I know where they just get passionate about something. They want to make the world a better place, and so they do it. They don't just talk about it. They begin to do something. And what happens is they get the respect of their peers. They gain influence, not only in their local community. It could even be at the church that you're in. It could be at the school that your kids are in. Wherever that broken place is, you can gain influence when you choose to do something. And here's the deal. Even when you fail, you gain influence. Even when it doesn't work, someone notices because you tried something. It makes you different from that person next to you. The problem is that our fear is overtaking the opportunity to do something significant, isn't it? The opportunities include the fact that we can make the world better, that we can have a greater community. We all desire a community. And lastly, that we can gain influence wherever that space is. So will you lead by fear? Will you be led by fear? Or will you move forward to courageously create the future? It's a great question, I think. Recent story that happened to Andre and I in our neighborhood about a month ago. We've been in the neighborhood now for a year. And a month ago, I came home. I was on the phone. I had breakfast with a friend of mine. Opened the door and noticed that our house was it was all beat up, basically. All the drawers were pulled out. Things were thrown all over the place. And pictures were down, and I looked through the back, and the glass door in our back of our house had been shattered, and someone had smashed the door in, came in, stole the night before I bought a new MacBook Pro. Brand new, like $2,000, you know. They stole Andre's computer. They stole one of our roommate's computer, a bike, a bunch of cash, all of Andre's identification, everything taken. I was so mad, you know. I was just angry. They broke it, right? It was their fault, you know? And then the other thing that came over me was the fear. The fear of what's going to happen to my wife. What if my wife would have been there, right? What if I would have been there and they came in? What would I have done? You know, I was scared. So I didn't know what to do, really. Thankfully, we have a community that we're wrestling through these things with. There's a guy named Leroy Barber that I called, and he's been a real mentor to me on this process. He's been in the neighborhood for like 7 years. And I called him and I said, Leroy, our house got broken into. Has yours ever been broken into? He said, yeah, 4 times. I was like, oh, I guess I'm not that big of a deal then, you know. He's like, yeah, but every time I get really mad, you know, and it's hard and it's hurtful. And I think about my kids and I think about my family and what's going to happen? What if? It's scary, right? And I said, yeah, you know. And he asked me back, he said, so are you going to stay in the neighborhood? Or are you going to go back to your safe place? I was like, man. In that moment, he asked that question to me. And I knew that there was two answers I could give. One would be driven by fear. One would be driven by courage. And I said to him, I said, Leroy, we're going to stay. We're going to stick this out. We're going to figure it out, right? And he said, for the first time, welcome to the neighborhood. He said, you're actually here now. You've made it through your first struggle, the first point that actually brought a greater fear into your life. So my question is to you, are you being driven by fear in your decision making? Or do you want to be courageous? You have the opportunity to create the future. That's what you were designed to do. That's who your creator was. He was creative, right? But are your decisions currently being made out of fear? Man, that's hard. Here's what I know. It might be too big of an idea that you have within you to go forward. You know, I don't expect everyone in this room to solve poverty today, right? It's too daunting, too daunting, too big. But do something. Don't just sit there in fear. Like, get a trash bag and go clean up the neighborhood down the street, you know? You'll learn so much in that process. I know that there's people in need in this community, in Aurora, just a few miles away. There's neighborhoods that need someone to help restore those. And Andre and I know that everyone's not called to the city. Like, that's not what we're preaching. But we do know that there are broken scenarios in your life today, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever it is. And I know that you're thinking about it right now. So I want to ask you to do something about it today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm encouraged by the group of people that are here, the people that I've met this weekend. I know that in this community, there are broken people. There are broken situations. There are people that need to be restored. There are hurting people. There are downtrodden. There's widows. There are poor. There is everything in this community. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that you would give them the confidence to go forward and to do something about it today. Lord, give them hope and dreams to pursue. Give them confidence to move forward. In your name, Lord, amen.
Oh, what a beautiful song, huh? Wow. Yeah, it's a song of hope. And I tell you, this whole idea of hope. I love the statement that Markita Erglova, she said when she was receiving her award, she said, hope and intellect connect us all. I mean, there's just something about hope that draws people. There's something about hope in the faith of Christ, in the faith of Christianity, in the faith of following Jesus that draws people. And it's that hope so many of us here in this room have experienced and are learning to rely on and to trust in every day of our lives. You know, and I'm thinking about this story. You know, the story of this film is not about starting with all these resources and starting with all of this influence and this power and this leadership. No, you know what it's about. It's a story that is all about starting with an idea. And so what is your idea? You have hope, and as you take that idea and you take that hope and you merge the two together, what you have is a combination that can truly begin to influence and change this world around us. So think about that for a second. What is your idea? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I don't know if I have an idea. Just begin to look at your community around you. Begin to look at your life. Begin to look at the people. Begin to look at those areas of life that you have influence in, or that you wish you had influence in, or hope that one day you may have influence in, and begin to dream. Would you take a moment today? Could we just, before we leave, would you take a moment? Would you just close your eyes? Just sit where you're at, and just let this idea absorb in your heart. What's your idea? Maybe there's one that you've been thinking about as you've sat here today. Maybe you don't think you have an idea. Would you just take a moment right now and just say, God, would you fill my heart with a dream? Would you fill my heart with your ideas? Because I'm experiencing this hope in my life that I really desire and want so many others to experience. God, would you make us that kind of church community? The dreams, and that has ideas, and would you turn us into people that don't look to the church leadership to come up with all their ideas, but that begin to dream on their own, begin to catch a vision of how God can use their lives. God, thank you for the opportunity we have. Thanks for what we've learned today, God, that when we create culture, that we have the potential to make this world a better place. God, that we have the potential to see true community occur. And of course, that we have potential for influence. Would you make us those kind of people that really come to realize that potential in our lives? And this morning, we pray these things together. We ask them in your Son's name. Amen. Can we say thank you to Jeff and Andre for being with us today? Thank you. Now, before you leave, I just want to remind you of a couple things. One, if you've not signed up to be baptized, we'd love for you to do that today. There's a card on the seat in front of you. And can I just say, if you've signed up already, can I just tell you how proud I am of you as your pastor for taking that step in your life? We're honored to be a part of that with you, and we're excited in a few weeks of gathering. So please make sure that if you are not getting baptized, please be a part of this day still with us. We want you to be a part of this and celebrate. And outside of that, let me also mention, if you have a gift card, seriously, if you have a gift card that you want to give to Jeff and they can utilize that, just bring that, just throw it down here, and we'll collect them. You can even throw them right now if you want. Go. I'm just kidding. Hey, there goes one. Yeah, hey, I like this. This is cool. Anybody else? Go ahead and just whip them. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you guys have a great Sunday. Love you guys. We'll see you. I'll see you in a couple weeks. We'll see you here at the Orchard next week.